What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Nightmares Podcast, where we talk about all things horror with awesome people from the horror community, whether that be movies, music, or in this case, a paranormal investigation, which is a lot of fun. And we are, of course, here with my partner in crime, Mr. Zachary Smith.
Yo.
And then also we have Nick Sarlo here with us today. Thank you so much, man, for being on the Nightmares Podcast. By all means, please introduce yourself and what you're all about.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me on and for thinking of me and everything. My name is Nick Sarlo. I'm a paranormal investigator. I've been hunting ghosts for about 18 years now, and it's probably one of the best things that I've ever done.
Nice. I love it. So, you know, we usually kick off the Nightmares Podcast, and it's interesting because paranormal activity and things of, you know, the real world are often great inspirations for the fictional world. So, and often people that are in this particular area do like the fictional side of things, as we are. We're fans of horror. So I'm curious, man, when did horror and scary things enter your life?
Probably when I was younger. The first time I've ever seen the movie Halloween, I just right there I was hooked right away with, you know, with Michael Myers and everything like that. But I mean, I didn't believe in ghosts or anything, or spirits or whatever, you know, you guys want to call them. I didn't believe in any of that until I had my first paranormal experience. After that experience, that kind of opened everything up to that, you know, there's a possibility for everything.
Nice. I love that. Well, you know, you just went right into it, man. So I'm actually curious. Let's chat about, you know, because you just said something very interesting. You said, I wasn't a believer beforehand. I didn't believe in any of that stuff. You know, I'm actually curious, what was your perception before your experience about people? I'm sure you knew about, like, ghost adventures, and obviously you probably saw Ghostbusters, and you know, which I'm a big fan of, and that you've heard about, you know, people talking about ghost stories. I'm sure your whole life, it's honestly a part of American folklore, to be perfectly honest. So I'm curious, what was your perception of all of that stuff before your experience?
I thought it was all fake. I hated it all. like, I thought ghosts were dumb. I thought Ghost Adventures was the stupidest show in the world. It just didn't interest me in anything. And, you know, anytime I would watch an episode, I'd be like, yeah, okay, you know, they're doing this for Hollywood and all this kind of stuff. Like, that's, you know, and there's probably somebody in the background making noise and stuff. And then when I had the experience, that really turned everything around and kind of changed everything for me.
Yeah, the you know, I mean, yeah, Ghost Adventures is an interesting show. The yeah, he's what's his name? Zach Braff?
Zach. He's an interesting character. I've never met him or anything. I've talked to people that know him really well. And they do say that Zach is actually a very down to earth person. He's not like you see on Travel Channel and all that kind of stuff, which makes sense, because certain channels, they expect you to be a certain way for ratings and views and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I mean, like I tell everybody with ghost hunting, not everything's a demon. That's not how this works.
No, it's very, you know, it's very, and actually, funny enough, like, there's definitely, it's like almost like a goal. Like, now that we've got you on, and like, I started watching this this guy on TikTok that's a priest, and he's a paranormal investigator. I don't know if you've seen him on there. You know, it's definitely put me down a rabbit hole of being more interested. And I think TikTok has definitely opened up a little bit more of a channel for people to talk about that stuff, which is interesting. So, all right, let's get right into it, man. Like, what's the experience, man? Paint the picture. Yeah, I want to hear where that, because like you just told me that you flipped a 180, man. So I'm curious, like, what happened?
So there was this girl named Jackie. She was dating my cousin, and, you know, she became like really close friends with the family and everything. And unfortunately, they had broken up. And I believe it was about a year later, about 3 weeks before Christmas, she ended up getting in a horrible car accident. And when she got in this car accident, she ended up passing away from the car accident. And this kind of really hit me hard and everything. because she was still really close to us and all that. You know, I've had grandparents die and everything, but this was different. And, you know, the wake and the funeral were very hard and everything. And so my experience happened, it was in July the next year, and it was very, very hot outside, and it was very hot in my room. I had the window wide open and everything, and I'm just sitting there watching TV. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it dropped to almost like 40 degrees in my room. And then all of a sudden, all these thoughts of Jackie were going through my head, of stuff we used to do and everything like that. And then Jackie had a very distinct scent about her. That scent came into the room, and then I felt the classic hand on my shoulder. And while all that was going on, that was the most comfortable I've ever been. I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. Nothing. And all this happened for maybe 15, 20 seconds. And then after that, everything stopped. It got back to being extremely hot in my room again. And then I was like, okay, what the hell was that? Like right there, I was like, that was something. Like I just experienced something. And I didn't even know what I experienced. And ever since that day, I'm still trying to find proof of the afterlife. Yeah, I mean, I've caught stuff on video and stuff like that, but it's still, it's not there yet. But ever since then, that really opened my mind up to, okay, well, you know, there's definitely a possibility of something else out there. You know, something else happens after we pass.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, not to get too grandiose, but is this almost the moment in your life when your life's mission came into focus? Or is this just, you know, a really, really big, you know, because some people have experiences that, you know, that they go, well, this is going to be very important to me. And then there's other experiences where they go, this is my life's mission and my life's work. So I'm curious on where you're, you know, what side of the fence you sit on that.
I think what happened was, I still, to this day, I still feel like Jackie put me on a correct path that I was supposed to take. And who knows what that other path would have been. I don't know if it was bad and whatever, but obviously I'm on a good path because I've met so many people. I've had so many opportunities for stuff. I've met so many great friends and everything. And if it wasn't for that experience, I wouldn't even be on this show right now.
And we're glad for it. We're glad that you're right. Hanging out with us. And I'm curious, you know, was your life, and not to get too personal, but it kind of is a little personal. Was your life particularly rudderless, if for lack of a better term? Did you have not a lot of focus on things?
Put it this way, it was boring. I was that lonely kid in high school that just went to school, did his work, sat in the corner, sat by myself, ate lunch by myself, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I had a few friends here and there and stuff, but that's, my life was just basic. That's all it was. And then all of a sudden this happened, and now I'm on paranormal investigations. I'm on TV shows. I've done stuff for theme parks and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. It still just amazes me to this day on everything that had happened so far.
That's it's really cool, man, because I guess I have a really good memory, so I can remember things, you know, that most people can't. And it's fascinating when you, as a human being, it's a human being experience. And I'd love to hear Zach's take on this too, is that you can sometimes boil down what you're destined to do in life in one or two moments, one or two very specific moments. I mean, you know, I still act to this day. I mean, that's what brought me to the friendship that I have with Zach is because of acting. And I was at a birthday party. It was a very, very fast version of the story. I was at a birthday party, and they had several different themed rooms in the area. And the neighbor that I was there with was really into dinosaurs, and I wasn't. So, but at the front of the place, it had a stage. And I went up on the stage, and I walked around and performed to an imaginary audience, and I was like 7. And not only is that a tradition that I still do to this day, where I show up to a set early or to a stage early and walk it and really feel what's going on, but that's a moment in my life when I decided that this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. the I don't feel like I belong anywhere else. You know, and not, you know, the and I don't know, Zach, did you have maybe one or maybe a series of moments when you knew that you wanted to do something in the film, you know, world or, you know, something of that nature?
I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that's like one of those big moments where everything just came to me. I just know at some point that I decided filming was the route I was going to go. I always kind of figured I'd somehow end up in the entertainment industry, whether that be video games or movies, because those two things have been a huge part of my life since I was 2 years old. Mortal Kombat 2, Nightmare on Elm Street, like, just, it's mm-hmm. all been a huge part of my life. So I always kind of figured I'd get down one of those avenues, or biological research with sharks, or something to do with sharks. If all those other two avenues failed, that's where I would have gone, because I have a huge obsession with sharks. But, you know, I just kind of go through life, and I see where it takes me, and I see multiple paths ahead, and I choose the one that I just kind of want to go down, just because, you know, I want to... At the end of the day, I just want an enjoyable life. I want to be able to die and say that I lived a good life and I don't have any regrets.
I think one of the things that you told me one time that caught you is when you chose to go to college for film. You made a very, very clear line in the sand. Yeah. And you said, I'm going to invest this much money into myself and get this loan out.
You're not wrong. That actually, you know what? Yeah, that's actually a good one. When So signing for those college loans, oh man, that's that was one of the toughest decisions I ever had to make, but at the end of the day I'm glad I made it, because I would not be here if it wasn't for making that decision. So still in debt, but you know, I'm making it work.
Yeah, so let's start from right there when you have that moment, that epiphany in your personal life, and you had that situation happen to you. You know, what's the first thing that hits you? Like, you had this experience, and what's the first thing that you're like, damn, I got to go do X or go do Y? I'm curious.
Yeah, I had to. I mean, since then, like after that day, it was, I kept thinking to myself, like, over and over, like, what was that? What happened? What happened? Like, was I... You know, I even did some research. I was like, okay, am I having a stroke? Am I having this? But I'm like, I'm 18 years old. Like, I'm pretty, you know, pretty healthy and everything and all that. And then I really started reading about, like, spirits and ghosts and how they can really affect people and all that kind of stuff. So I got a couple friends together, and I was like, yeah, let's go ghost hunting, you know, that. Let's see how it is. And one of my friends, Pat, who's still on the team today, he's like my other friends. They're just like, you know, that's, you know, it'll be fun, whatever. But I didn't think it would turn into what it did turn into. You know, with people asking us, oh, can you investigate our house? Can you do this? Can you show up at an event? Can you teach people about ghost hunting? Can you do this? Like, I never thought shadow hunters would be anything like that. I just like, oh, you know, it's a little side hobby, whatever. I mean, yeah, you know, I have my everyday job as being a vet tech for animals and stuff like that, but this is now, if I can have this be my everyday job, that'd be perfect. I would love it. It'd be great. But unfortunately, you know, with paranormal investigating, you can't have that be a good source of income, or you know, you can't get insurance from that and all that. So,
yeah.
So hopefully one day maybe it will happen, you know, like we'll appear on the Travel Channel, whatever. I don't know, but I think so far it's definitely been a very, very interesting ride.
Absolutely. The you know, it's something interesting that caught me on your YouTube channel is actually, and this is something that we actually were doing for a while, which was really into the education of horror filmmaking and wanted to teach the next person. And something that caught me about your channel is how you're teaching people to be involved in paranormal. And like, I never had somebody educate me on the proper usage of Ouija board before. That was very nice and helpful, and because those things scare the fuck out of me. But you're like, no, you know, if you use it right, and you know, it was interesting. It was kind of like, and not to, you know, and hurt anybody's feelings or get too controversial, but I kind of felt like I was like watching a firearms tutorial except with a Ouija board. I was like, well, you gotta remember it's a tool, and the use it this way, and you're gonna be fine.
Well, and the thing is too, like, you know, we're here to teach people and to show people that, hey, this stuff is actually real. And I mean, yeah, paranormal investigating, it could be a blast. It's so much fun, but it can also be like watching paint dry at the same time. It could be the most boringest thing you've ever done, but it's, you know, it's exciting at the same time. But we want people to also be safe, especially for our team. Safety is number one priority at all times. You know, stuff can happen. People have been scratched on our team. People have been hit, slapped, choked. We've had somebody start swearing it for no apparent reason and just getting pissed off, and just anything can happen, and you want to be as safe as possible. So we always tell people, you know, investigating can be fun, but also it can be dangerous at the same time. So we like to just kind of show people how to protect themselves, especially if you've never done this before. And, you know, just make sure everybody is safe. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Zach?
All right. So what are some of the rules to paranormal investigating? So the most amount of knowledge I have in this sort of field is based off the game Phasmophobia. Have you ever played the game, or do you know the game
at all? I've never played. So I'm not really big in video games, but I do love it's funny. My favorite type of game that I've always played ever since I was a kid is Kingdom Hearts. I love the Kingdom Hearts series. Like, those are my favorite. The third one, I'm not going to talk about because it's too damn hard for me because I'm too old now. But usually, like, video games and stuff like that, like, I've never really played. Like, I've played, like, Five Nights at Freddy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But nothing like that for like paranormal investigations or anything.
Okay. So in the game, there are there's a whole bunch of different types of ghosts to go through. I would say there's about maybe 20 at this point. They all have their sort of rules and regulations of how they work. Like, the whole point of the game is you got to find three different clues to determine which type of ghost is in the area. And then after that, you book it out of there. And I guess another team comes in and they actually deal with the ghost. But your job is to find out what type of ghost it is. So you use UV lights to find handprints, salt to, you know, maybe see if you can find a footprint or something like that. Not to block the ghost. Like, you only use the salt for, like, finding footprints and such. It's another tool for the job. Microphones and stuff like that. So I want to know, since I actually have the opportunity to talk to someone about this, I want to know how legit the game is versus what it's actually like in real life. So let's start with the EMF reader. What is an EMF reader? What is the point of it? What is it used to do? So on and so forth.
Yeah, so an EMF meter, it's used, so for those that don't know, it's electromagnetic field, because ghosts are said to kind of give that off a little bit. As humans, we give that off too. That's our energy. So you know how, like, sometimes you can get a static shock and stuff like that? That's EMF, pretty much. We use an EMF, I can't talk now. We use an EMF meter. We have something called a REM pod. What the REM pod does, it's kind of like the EMF meter. It's got four lights on there. And what happens is it's got an antenna. As you go closer to that antenna, one light will start popping up, two lights, three lights, four lights, depending on how close you do get to the antenna. And the thing is, with paranormal equipment, you want to be very careful because your cell phones can set those things off immediately. So we always tell people, please put your phone on airplane mode. You know, that completely blocks the signal. And if you don't know how to do that, find the child closest to you because they're a lot smarter than we are.
That's fair.
And yeah, we always tell people, make sure that your phone is on airplane mode. Otherwise, it's just going to completely screw up the evidence and everything. But we've had a millimeter, EMF meter, we've had those go off in the middle of like a forest when there's no electric. There's nothing, like, there's no apparent reason it should be going off. We use those. We do use your normal everyday flashlight and stuff. We use cameras, but more for our team, we're more how we feel, like how our senses are affected. Yeah, we use paranormal equipment and stuff, but we find that we get the best evidence by using how we feel. Are we cold? Do we have a stomach ache? Do we feel like vomiting? Do we have a headache? Are we dizzy? You know, anything like that. Do we have the cold chills? All that actually happens on a paranormal investigation. And so a lot of people, when they ask us, they're like, oh my God, like, do you guys actually get your hair pulled? Does this happen? And it's not like the paranormal activity movements. We do not get pulled and dragged out of bed, down the stairs, and go flying different directions. That doesn't really happen. Like, that's not how it is. And to bring back to what you were talking about with the Ouija board, here's a lot of things that people don't understand and why people are scared of the Ouija board is Hollywood. Hollywood makes you think that, you know, a hand is going to come out of the Ouija board and grab you in and you're going to be sucked into, you know, like the eighth dimension or whatever. Like, that doesn't happen. The Ouija board is just like any other paranormal tool. If you're using a digital voice recorder, you don't know who you're talking to. It's the same thing with a Ouija board. You don't know who you're talking to. It's exactly the same. And people, anytime we mention Ouija board, they're like, oh, devil, demon, get him out of here. It's like, no, you've got to do your research first before you start judging. You know, never judge a book by its cover. But yeah, I mean, we use all the equipment, but like I said, we really like to use what we're feeling when we're inside of a haunted location.
Gotcha. Since you actually mentioned the Paranormal Activity movies, I believe it was the third or fourth one where they used the dot sensor on the Kinect.
That actually happens.
Okay, because I was going to point out that they actually do have a similar tool in the game. It's called the dots projector. And you set it in a room and you wait for like an apparition or something to walk through it. Could you explain to me how that works or how that tool is used, so on and so forth?
Yeah. So pretty much with the Kinect, it does shoot out like millions of lasers and stuff like that. But the way they make it is if you do use like a night vision camera, you can actually see all those dots and stuff. So what it's doing is the Kinect is trying to map out something, whether it's a person, a chair, anything like that. And when you use it, you can use like a mobile one that you can actually walk around with, or you can set one up to your computer and stuff. It does work, but me, I still need more proof that it actually does work, because there's been times where we've used one and we've used it down the hallway and all of a sudden it's trying to map out a figure and it's like moving around, and then we look and it's like, okay, it's a chair. Why is it mapping out this chair? Why is the chair moving? So my thing is, the only way it's actually going to work is if you go down a blank hallway that has nothing, no pictures, no posters, no chairs, tables, anything in there, and then it starts mapping out something, that's different. But if it's got stuff in there, I don't know. I still really don't trust the whole Kinect thing. But a lot of people do say it does work.
Sorry about that.
Bless you.
Thank you. My next question, when it comes to crosses, what are the rules when it comes to crosses? So in the game, what you can do is you can put it down, and what it does is it acts like a protection barrier for a small amount of time. It essentially gets two uses. The ghost or whatever spirit you're facing will take a bite out of it, and once it takes the second bite out of it or it just melts, that's when you got to clear out, because that's probably an aggressive ghost and you got to book it. So what are the rules with crosses versus, well, the game, essentially?
Or actually, I would even add any religious paraphernalia of any kind. You know, I'd be curious about that as well.
A lot of people that do come with us, or even some people on our team, some of us do have crosses. You know, we do. So we kind of have like a religious, because there's a lot of people on our team that are religious and a lot of other people out there that are religious. But then there's some people that are not religious. Now with the crosses, you know, it's not like, the Conjuring movie, you know, where a bunch of crosses fall down and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's very, very, very rare that anything like that would even happen. A lot of people get the misconception that everything's a demon, it's all demonic, and you know, kind of like you were saying with the video game and everything, how, you know, they'll take a bite of the cross and all that. That doesn't even happen. That we just wear it for protection on ourselves. Even though if we don't even know if it actually does protect us or not, but we feel a little bit more comfortable when we do have it. So like I was saying, on our team, we have people that are religious and people that are not religious. So we'll do like the prayer to St. Michael protection before every single investigation. And then we also do a white light ceremony where there's like a white light coming from the sky surrounding you with like a big bubble and everything, you know, so nothing negative can enter your space. Sure. But I mean, a lot of us wear crystals. A lot of us wear black obsidian. It's a special type of rock that repels negativity and stuff like that. And we actually wear that every day. And it's not just ghost or anything like that. When we wear like black obsidian and stuff, that actually repels negative energy that we go through the day with. So like, let's say you're a retail worker and somebody's screaming at you and all that kind of stuff. When that happens, that energy is now coming out on you, and you are now going to take that out on somebody else. That's energy. Energy flows around like that. But a lot of times, like if you have like different types of protection on you, stuff like that won't affect you as bad. Sure. Or anything like that. But we always try to use some form of protection and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make this the last tool-related question. How do you utilize UV lighting?
That's actually a good question. I was curious about that,
so
too.
So in the game, you use it to mainly find, like, handprints or when you lay the salt down, footprints and stuff like that. So that's the only utilization for that tool, essentially. So how would you use that in a real ghost hunting or just paranormal activity scenario?
Some people do use the UV lighting. We don't. We use it's a thermal imaging camera. So you can see like heat signatures and stuff like that. That's mostly what we use for any type of thing like that. We've never used a UV light or anything like that. So I don't know how that would really compare to, I mean, but like I said, you know, some people do use that from what I've heard. But with the thermal imaging camera, like it picks up heat signatures and, you know, we've put our hand on the wall and you see our handprint, or somebody farts and you'll see that fart come right out too. So, and it actually happens with heat signatures and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, with UV lighting, we've never used that or anything.
Okay.
Nice. I got a question though.
Okay.
And then, because this is fucking fascinating. Like literally my mind's rushing, you know, of questions, just cause it's so unique. And obviously this question is with whatever level of comfortability that you want, but like, yeah, you know, obviously this is a profession for you. I mean, you know, I know that you have a regular day job, but this is, you know, same thing that we do. We consider ourselves professionals. Have you been in some situations or investigations when you were like, this is like beyond my level of fucked up, or this is like, this is going to get some like dangerous, or this is going to get, you know, past my even level of comfort or training, where you were like, maybe you even had a we got to get the fuck out of here kind of moment. Like, this is, we need to have like a priest needs to come in here, or like, you know, some other shit that like, where you're like, and I got, this is obviously within your level of comfortability. I don't want to bring up or dredge up bad memories for you, but it is fascinating. And I know that our listeners would be very interested to know about, you know, about this, about these situations where you're like, no, fuck that, I'm gonna get out of here, or things got out of control.
Yeah, I mean, we've had situations where we know that we can't handle it, and all we do is we just call on another team that we think can, and if they can't, they call it on, you know, somebody else. And luckily though, we have never ever, knock on wood, came up against like very evil spirits or anything like that. I mean, there's been times where it's been kind of edgy and stuff like that, where we have gotten scratched. There's been times where I felt like I was going to throw up all over the place and all that. It's just because they really converge with your energy. That's what's going on. And your body's not used to that at all. But I mean, luckily, like I said before, we've never been in a situation where we're like, okay, like this is too dangerous and all that. We've been called for cases like that, but we already know that we can't handle it. And we're not even going to try to pretend that we can handle it, because in the ghost hunting world and the paranormal world, there's no such thing as a professional ghost hunter. And if you consider yourself a professional, just go. Just get it out, because there's no profession. You're not better than any other paranormal investigator. Like that's what it comes down to. And you know, everybody respects one another and everything, but there are people out there that are like, oh no, you know, I caught this ghost the other day and you didn't. Well, big deal. That doesn't prove anything. The only thing it proves is you're an arrogant asshole, and that's all what it comes down to. But like with us and all that, like we like to have a good time. A lot of other paranormal investigators like to have a good time on ghost hunts and stuff.
Sure.
And like I said before, it could be serious, but it could be fun at the same time.
Yeah. You know, and I'm curious because of something you just mentioned, which was we've been called for a few investigations that we said, hey, you know, we're going to pass this off to another team. This seems a little too, you know, serious. I'm curious about what that situation was, and also too is what's your criteria for your team to say, hey, you know, this isn't our speciality. This isn't something that, you know, we feel comfortable doing. I'm curious.
Yeah, so I mean, there's been times where we've been on an investigation, or we're just getting ready to go on an investigation, and we like to do our homework on whatever location that we're going to or anything like that. But like I said before, safety is number one. If we don't feel safe, we're not entering that building.
Sure.
If we don't feel safe with the people who say that their house is haunted, we don't enter that building.
Sure.
Because the thing is, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of diseases out there, like schizophrenia. Somebody who has schizophrenia can think they see ghosts and stuff like that. We don't know if we're safe or not. So we will never, ever put ourselves in that situation to where we don't know if who's over there is a murderer and all that kind of stuff. So we make sure that their case comes from a good source. Like if it's somebody we know, somebody we trust, then yeah, definitely we'll do it. But if it's somebody we don't know, like if somebody just randomly came off the street, oh, I know who you guys are. You're shadow hunters and stuff like that. I needed to come investigate my house, blah, blah, blah. Well, hold on there. Like what's going on? And sometimes it's not even a haunted thing. It's the house settling. It's, you know, you have a leaky roof. You have this, you have that. Like, but we would never, ever go into a location, be like, yep, your house is haunted. You need to move out now. Mm. Like that, like who are we to tell somebody that?
Yeah,
like,
no, 100%.
You can't do that or anything. And that's why, like, it's frowned upon in the paranormal field or anything like that. And anytime we do go to a location, like if somebody brings us in, they're always like, oh, how much do you, you know, how much do you want? How much? We always do free of charge. You never, ever, when you're on a paranormal investigation, you never charge. If you charge, there's something not right with you, because how do you know there's actually ghosts in there? Nobody even knows if ghosts are real or not right now. And I mean, I still don't even know if ghosts are real. And I've been doing this for 18 years. Like, nobody knows. So, like, any of those videos that you see on YouTube, half of them are shit. Like, they don't actually tell you, oh, yep, you know, what's going on, the background history and all that kind of stuff. They're like, nope, it's a ghost. I'm getting, like, you know, you see those thumbnails and they're like, oh, you know, I caught a ghost over here or whatever. Like, you have to be a professional, responsible team. And you know, going back to when I say professional, I mean like you have to make sure you're taking care of your teammates. Yeah. You have to know all the ins and outs. You have to make sure everybody is safe and everything. But like anytime we've been in a situation where we're like, you know, we don't think we can handle it, we just call somebody else. We just call another team that's either close by or somebody else. That's usually how that works. I mean, and like I said before, we've never been in a situation where where we couldn't handle it or anything like that. Like, and you know, I mean like demons and
devil
or whatever. But no, I mean, luckily we've never been in that type of situation before.
Absolutely. Yet. So it's pretty much always the human element rather than the supernatural element of the reason why you don't move forward with a job or you say, hey, right. This isn't our thing. It really always comes down to what's the reality of the situation with the human that I'm dealing with rather than the supernatural force that I'm dealing with. And as per now, you have not run into a situation supernaturally that you don't feel comfortable with, but I'm sure that you have criteria and things that you've prepared yourself to say, hey, if it gets to this point, we gotta, our team isn't trained for this type of activity.
Right. And there's a questionnaire that everybody has to fill out. It's got 50 questions on there that needs to be filled out on name, age, are you taking any medication right now? Ever since COVID first hit and all that kind of stuff, we even have a questionnaire in there. Do you have COVID? And like anytime we go into a person's house, we all wear masks just in case, because we don't know these people or anything like that. And like I said before at the beginning of the podcast, is safety is our number one priority. We always make sure that everybody is safe. Even when it comes down to diseases, stomach flu, normal cold, sinus infection, COVID, anything like that. That's why we wear masks and stuff too. But a lot of places, though, can have dust, dirt, anything like that. And a lot of us, you know, I have allergies to that kind of stuff. And I know some people on the team do as well.
Sure.
Yeah. So, all right. So continuing on... just trying to make comparisons from the game to the actual work. You mentioned that a lot of people think they always have a demon, and I know there's multiple types of like ghosts and paranormal entities out there. Like, for example, one of the biggest things I learned playing Phasmophobia is that there's a difference between a ghost and a spirit. I always just kind of correlated the two together. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if you could, you know, go into some of the, like, the different paranormal entities out there, because there's way more than ghosts. There's... Jinns are in the game, mimics are in the game, which when I think, or well, genie, those are things I would never think to be, you know, paranormal creatures or anything like that, or ghostly apparitions, but they're in the game. So, could you maybe go into detail about some of that type of stuff and some of those entities, please?
Yeah. So ghost and spirit, they're considered, they're kind of like the same thing, but they are different. So, a spirit technically is somebody who has passed on, but they're kind of stuck here on this plane. A ghost technically can travel all over. They can go to heaven, back here. Heaven,
really?
Back here, you know, whatever anybody believes in, anything like that. Now, like Mark was saying, a poltergeist, that kind of stuff is real. There's been poltergeists where, you know, stuff will be thrown across the room and all that. That's a poltergeist. A poltergeist is kind of like... It's like a jokester a little bit. You know, they play tricks and all that kind of stuff.
Stack furniture.
Now, like, like djinn, genies, anything like that. I don't really know if that stuff actually exists. Maybe, you know, old folklore and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but anything in, like, modern century now, I highly doubt does exist or anything like that. But now, so like the word paranormal, that means anything out of the ordinary. So it's anything out of the ordinary. Now, paranormal, that includes Bigfoot, aliens, UFOs, what else?
Fairies, vampires, werewolves.
Yeah, fairies, vampires, gnomes. I know people have said they've seen gnomes before.
Shapeshifters.
Shapeshifters, all that kind of anything like that would be considered paranormal. If we ever came up against anything like that, definitely not, because I would probably shit my pants if I ever came up with something like that.
Silver.
There's no way.
Silver, lots of silver. lots of silver.
But like me personally, I do not believe in aliens at all, just because I've never encountered one. Once I encounter it, I may have a different understanding. It's the same thing with ghost. Now, like genies and stuff like that, I really don't think that kind of stuff is real. Because if it is, where's mine? Where's my $1 million? Where's this? Where's that? Like, how come I don't get that kind of stuff, you know? But anything that's really out of the ordinary, like genies or fairies even, I really don't believe in. I just mostly believe in ghost spirits, maybe an occasion like evil spirit, maybe Bigfoot. I'm not really sure about that one yet, but a lot of people think that Bigfoot is actually an alien too and is a time traveler.
There's also some theories about him being an interdimensional creature as well. There's been some documentaries about that. You know, the thing I'm curious about, you know, with your research and everything else, because all right, let's be honest. I know what the people want to talk about. Like, they want to talk about like some fucking demons and shit. Like the real bad bad motherfuckers. Like, because everybody, you know, of course, everybody's fascinated with ghosts, and I've had an experience myself, and I still don't know what to make of it. But I know that, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, in today's like society, like, ghosts, you know, are, you know, scary, but you know, my cousin's seen a ghost. Like, the one that a lot of people are fascinated with is like the demons and the really vengeful spirits and things like that. So, you know, what's your hot take on that? Because obviously, you know, you have not had an experience, but maybe you've talked to other teams, and, you know, kind of what's your take on it? You know, when it comes to these really hardcore situations, like the shit that the Warrens came across and stuff like that.
Now, with the Warrens, a lot of people do not believe the Warrens at all. A lot of people think that they're fake. Me personally, I don't. I believe they actually did find some stuff. We actually met the real Annabelle doll, which was the scariest thing that I've ever done before. There's a story behind why. I'll tell you guys in a second. But 99% of the time, it's good spirits. You're going to get that 1% that's a little asshole. That's about it. Demons, devils, this, that. It can exist. Does it? I have no clue. Because like I said before, we've never came up against anything like that. We've had teams have some very terrifying times. But 99% of the time when you go into a haunted location, they're just ghosts in there. There's nothing bad. They can follow you home. That's definitely... I have ghosts in my house. You know, in my studio and stuff, like, they're, because I didn't protect myself when I was first starting out ghost hunting. But anything like that, it's also, you know, like you were just saying, a lot of people, they're like, come on, there's got to be devil stories. It's got to be the demons and all this. If you want that, go watch Hollywood. Hollywood is very well known for that.
Fair enough. I can appreciate that. And I'm glad you got into, you know, the things that you believe in and don't believe about, you know, other aspects. Because paranormal is a very vast thing. But I'm curious, you know, you coming from a non-believer into a believer, you know, have you had some discussions with people who are like, that's a bunch of horse shit, and, you know, and what the fuck, are you nuts? You know, are you schizophrenic? You seeing shit and everything else? Because they're out there. Like, you know, I would like to think that people are nicer than that, but a lot of people are dicks. So I'm very curious if you got into discussions, and what do you say to these people?
I just say, you know what? It's, everybody has their own opinion. Everybody has their right to an entitled opinion. If you don't believe, you don't believe. There's nothing I can do. But what I always tell people is, you're not going to stop me from doing something that I like to do, because that's my personal preference. That's, you know, that's my belief system. Whatever I believe in, I can believe in, you know. It's like saying, you know, like, there's some people out there that, you know, they believe in God. There's other people out there that do not believe in God and all that. Like, who are you to tell somebody else that they can't believe in that? Like, that's what I tell people. I mean, obviously, you know, I'll say it nice and stuff like that. And maybe sometimes I'll try to convince them and stuff, but if they don't want it, they don't want it. There's nothing I can do. Like, there's a coworker that I work with. She thinks all ghosts and spirits, it's gravity. That's why everything happens, is because of gravity. And I was, well, that's not really how gravity works, but okay.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Like, you want to have the energy discussion, you know, that energy transfers that's definitely a discussion, but I don't know about that gravity thing. It's definitely the most interesting
argument I've ever heard.
Yeah, that certainly is.
It's all gravity. And I was like, okay, well, that's what you believe in. I have nothing to say with that. Rock and roll. But no, I mean, like, I have convinced people a couple times who have went on ghost hunts with us that, oh my God, like, this actually just happened to me and stuff like that. And, you know, if I can make you a believer, hey, great. That's awesome. But if you don't believe, that's awesome too. Like, it's perfectly okay to be a skeptic. Like, you know, it shows that you're human. It shows that your brain is, you know, is active and everything. But no, I've had people like, you're stupid, you're a fucking idiot, all this kind of crap. And it's like, oh, that's your opinion. It doesn't bother me. So whatever.
Have a good evening, sir.
Pretty much. And I've had that before, and people have started arguments with me and I just ignore them. I just walk away and it's like, whatever.
There you go.
Because I'm a very I can't even talk to
you. You got it. You got it. We believe in you.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Like, I'm not a mean person at all. I'm non-confrontational. Thank you. Got it. I always try to hear the other people's side of the story and everything like that. And I'm not the type of person to be like, nope, this is my way. This is how it goes. Whatever I say goes. And that's not me. Like, that's not how I was raised or anything. I always feel that everybody has a right to their own opinion. And whether your opinion's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. That's just the way it goes.
Rock and roll, man. Rock and roll. Zach, did you want to? Hey, it looked like you were about to bring up something.
You know, I was, but my mind is blanking right now. Take the mic.
I got it. So
God, that has happened to me like 3 times today.
You said it earlier, which was about Annabelle. And you said you're scared. So obviously, so you do believe, and this is kind of goes into a question about, like, you do believe in evil, like, because people have talked about Annabelle and, like, that doll is evil. Like there's no, like, middle ground with that. Like, oh, this is like a pissed off, you know, jokester or whatever. Like, that's a legitimate evil thing. So, you know, so I'm curious about your experience and then maybe expand upon that topic.
Yeah, so we went to Pat and I. Pat's the one who, he's kind of like the co-founder of the team, just because he originally started with me and everything. We went to the Warren's Paracon in Connecticut. They had a whole big paranormal conference out there, and they had all their, like, or most of their haunted objects that they had, including Annabelle. And we're looking, we're like, oh God, you know, we got to go. Like, how much of a chance do you get to go see Annabelle? And it was great. It was like $30 to get in and another $30 to see, like, all the artifacts and stuff. And we're like, you know what? Let's make a week out of it. So I've never been out east before. So we went to Massachusetts. We saw Salem for the first time. Nice. That was a great experience. Never go during Halloween, though. We were walking like this the entire time because it was so crowded. The only things that were not crowded were the Hocus Pocus locations, which was really cool to see. Hocus Pocus locations, they were all open. You could take as many pictures as you want.
Nice. Love it.
And then the day before we went to the conference, we went to Rhode Island. And in Rhode Island is the original Conjuring House. Nice. And we drove past the house and everything. They were doing filming and stuff, so unfortunately we couldn't actually go on the property. But just driving past that house, you got like weird chills, and it was just an eerie feeling, but it was cool at the same time. And then I don't know if you guys seen the Conjuring movies.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Great movies. Great movies.
You know how in the first one they talk about the evil spirit Bathsheba?
I think that vaguely sounds
name of the spirit?
Yeah, that was like the name of the evil spirit that went into the mom and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Her grave is in Rhode Island. We went to go visit her grave.
Oh.
But here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. Bathsheba had nothing to do with the Conjuring.
Hmm.
It was just a name that Lorraine Warren just kind of threw out Like, oh, it was Bathsheba. Bathsheba had nothing to do with it. She was actually a very, very sweet lady from what we found out from. She did have children and stuff like that. Some of them did die, but she is not the antagonist of The Conjuring House. The Conjuring House, yeah, it definitely has stuff to it, but she's not the reason why. Mm-hmm. We actually found that out from, because when we went to this convention, our good friends Terry and Tracy were out there, and they're paranormal investigators from Florida, but they're really good friends with one of the original daughters that lived inside of the Conjuring House.
Oh, okay.
For the first time, we got to meet Andrea Parent. Very nice lady, very sweet lady. And she explained the story of what really happened with Ed and Lorraine Warren inside of the Conjuring House. Mm. They were really there. And I mean, I can say this and stuff like that because it's been out there and all that. When they went into the house, Ed Warren goes, you know what? We need to have an exorcism on your wife. This is what we need to do right now. We have to do this. And Mr. Perrin goes, you're not doing that. I'm sorry, not doing that. And then stuff started to happen. And Mrs. Perrin, the wife, actually did float. Like, that was a real thing. She started floating in the air and stuff with her chair. But Ed goes, okay, you need to stop this. This is ridiculous. Mr. Perrin is like, stop. He punched Ed Warren in the face, gave him a bloody nose, and kicked him out of the Conjuring House. So the Warrens only had about a good 2 hours in that house. Not like the Conjuring movie. It had nothing to do with the Conjuring movie. Mm. But anyways, to go back to Annabelle. So, you know, we went to the Warrens conference and all that. It was really cool seeing like all this like stuff in there. But as soon as we entered the artifact room, we felt nauseous. We couldn't stop shaking, everything. Like, I had a headache. I felt like my head was being squeezed and everything. And then as soon as we walked towards Annabelle, there she is. She's just standing in her case and everything. And right away, I was like, look, Annabelle, like, I don't mean any disrespect to you, anything like that. I just want a picture. That's all I want. The whole time, I mean, nothing happened like during that time. And then as soon as we walked out of the room, everything was fine. Felt great. Everything went back to normal. So Pat and I were like, oh, you know, we're kind of hungry and all that. So we go get lunch. 45 minutes after lunch, I got the worst toothache I have ever had in my entire life. And I was like, oh, that's really weird. Like, where is this toothache coming from? And every time, so we got back from the trip, the tooth kept hurting. And I have relatively, you know, good oral hygiene and, you know, good teeth and everything. And all of a sudden, I can't get into a dentist office. No dentist office will see me for that tooth. They're like, oh, we're booked. We can't get you in, anything like that. Well, then it got to the point where I was desperate and I ended up going to like one of those chain dental places. Like, oh yeah, you know, that tooth needs to come out, whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. And every time they tried to take my tooth out, my heart rate would skyrocket. And they're like, oh, nope, we can't do it. We can't touch it. So finally, I went to an oral surgeon. And, but before that, like, I have a good heart and everything like that. It's just because I was nervous and all that, but that's never happened before. Mm. And I went to an oral surgeon, and they did the x-ray of my mouth. They're like, oh, you also need your wisdom teeth out, too. The wisdom teeth was pushing on that one tooth and made that tooth infected. Fuck. And finally, last year, I was able to get the wisdom teeth out, and I was able to get that one tooth out. So from seeing Annabelle all the way until last year, I've had the worst tooth experience with having tooth pain and all that. Now, was that because of Annabelle, or was that just a coincidence? That's what I'm still wondering, but would I go see Annabelle again? Well, yeah, I would go see Annabelle. Would I want to go through that experience again? Definitely not. So anybody who does go, and like any of your listeners, anybody who does go see Annabelle, be very careful.
Absolutely. The and I know that a lot of people too are, in addition to Annabelle, are also fascinated with Robert the Doll down in Key West. That's one of the big ones as well. I'm assuming that you have not had an opportunity to go and visit, but maybe you know some people that have.
I do know some people that have, and every time, and it's the same thing every time you go up to Robert the Doll, you need to say, "Can I please take a picture?" Because if you take a picture without asking, stuff does happen. Do I want to see Robert? I'm not sure. Annabelle, that's a little different. So even to begin with, I hate dolls with a passion. Dolls scare the shit out of me.
I get They're that.
Barbie doll, what it is. Like Chucky, that's ha ha ha. It's funny. Like I can stand Chucky. Like that new Megan movie that came out, I hate dolls. But I still watched it. And I thought Megan was a good movie. I didn't mind it or anything. But like little dolls, I can't do. But like Annabelle and stuff like that, no. So I faced my fear that day and going to see Annabelle. Now, will I see Robert? Probably.
So when you talk to people in your community, the people that are paranormal investigators, and mm-hmm. And this is something that I have is that I have discussions with people all the time, and sometimes we get into philosophical discussions. And I've had friends of all different walks of life, different beliefs, and one in particular happened to be an atheist, and I talked to him about good and evil, and good is relative, but it was the discussion of evil, and I remember he said, "Is like, do you believe that there's evil out there?" I was like, "Absolutely, there are things that are hiding in the corners of darknesses that you couldn't even possibly fathom, of how evil they are, human and not human." So I'm curious, and this kind of goes back to obviously because everyone's curious about the deep dark thing, but I'm curious among the discussion among the community itself, not the bullshit, not the Hollywood, not the other thing, mm-hmm. is that, what's the discussion around truly evil things? I know that 99.9% of every ghost encounter is just either at worst, a dickhead. Like somebody's just going to fuck with you and stuff. But I'm curious about what the discussion is in the community internally about what evil is. Because we're talking about Annabelle, we're talking about Robert the Doll, and I'm guaranteed that there's probably worse shit out there. But I'm curious about the community's personification of evil and kind of what the discussion is and how you deal with it, because I'm assuming that y'all believe in that. So I'm curious what that mm-hmm. discussion looks like and maybe paint a little color on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes about stuff with evil and all that, it's more of, and like I said, I personally don't really know if there is evil. I'm sure there is. I mean, there's evil for everything. There's evil people. There's, but I mean, for evil being in the paranormal, I mean, it is brought up a lot that it could be an evil spirit or anything like that. Like I said earlier, 99% of the time it's not, but yet you do get that 1% that we actually could be coming up with a demonic case or anything like that. It just comes back down to, are we prepared for this? Do we think we can actually do this? And if we don't think so, it goes on to somebody else. There are demonologists out there. James Anito, he's a good friend of ours. He's a demonologist and stuff like that. He has came across cases and stuff like that where, people have been possessed and all that kind of stuff. Have I ever seen it? No. I don't think I would want to see it because I don't want to. There's part of me that doesn't want to see it because then I won't think it's true type of thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want to believe in it type of thing. Because if something can take over your body like that, that creeps me out.
And now there's one more thing that I have to deal with as a paranormal investigator.
Right.
So it's almost like, hey, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. It's over mm-hmm. off to the side type of deal.
Right. Right. And it's like with us, every time we go into a location, we always have good intentions. It's always good intentions, always never negative, never, ever. We don't, like I said before, we don't deal with anything negative. It's all positive stuff that we do. And, that's where it comes down again to safety is number one. We always make sure that everybody's safe and But to go back to your question about evil, it's, I think evil, it depends on the group or the paranormal investigator, because everybody's got a different opinion what evil is. To me, it's just, you were a dick in life, and now you're going to be a dick in the afterlife, too. It's the same thing. But it, personally, demons and stuff like that, I don't know. I really don't know. Now, stuff with, like, Annabelle and Robert the Doll and, you know, any of those haunted objects, that's different, because a lot of that stuff, you can actually get a curse. A lot of those items are cursed. A cursed item isn't necessarily evil. I mean, yeah, it's evil, but it's something that has never walked the earth before, type of thing. So you have like a, so like with the case with Annabelle, she's, a lot of people do say it's something demonic inside of Annabelle. That's what it is. And obviously something demonic like that has never walked the earth, meaning, and by walking the earth, I mean, it was never a human form before. That's kind of my thing of how we would take evil. And, you know, if we know that we're going to go on an evil case, we always discuss, can we do this? Can we not do this? We always make sure that we're safe and we know what we're doing. And especially if it's a client's house, we want to make sure that the client is safe too. And if we don't feel that we can keep the client safe, we're not going to do it either. And like most of the places that we do go are like, you know, like bigger buildings. Like there's a place in Wisconsin, it's called Broadhead Manor. It's a great haunted location. Most places like that do not have demons, demonic,
sure,
anything like that. Like that doesn't really happen in those types of places. There's just normal spirits now. But then again, we haven't been to a crap ton of haunted locations, like, you know, that you got to pay for to get into and all that. We've been to some, but the ones that we've been to, it's all been like friendly spirits. Well, not necessarily friendly. I mean, yeah, you know, we've gotten shit on and stuff, but, you know, just normal ghost and stuff.
And it sounds like that's kind of your bread and butter, is to really just be talking about with the ghosts and sticking in that area of turf. And like you said, there's demonologists and people that really study all that stuff on that side of the coin that are literally more you know, of an expert to it. Zach, did you? I know that I was kind of asking a lot of questions. I'm sure you're curious just the same. We just lose your lights?
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Okay, perfect timing.
There we go. The I don't know if you have a circuit breaker or.
Nope, there we go.
There we go.
Okay. That was weird. That's never happened before.
There you go. All right, well, this is a perfect opportunity for us to shift gears and get Zach to jump in here a little bit.
I got nothing else, at least off the top of my head. I'm just into listening right now and just taking in all the information. This is very solid stuff, so.
It's fascinating. It truly is. It truly is fascinating.
Actually, I actually do have a question. What is your take on heaven and hell?
I do believe there is a heaven. I do believe there's a hell. I also do believe there is a place called purgatory. So I don't know if, you know, your fans or you guys have ever seen, you know, the show Supernatural. I love that show.
Yep.
It's a great show. I don't think, you know, there's really a Castiel angel into somebody else. Like that kind of stuff I don't believe in. But I do believe in that there is a heaven, there is a hell. And then there's kind of like a place in between. Again, that's just like a personal opinion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, I know this is you know, let's shift gears a little bit outside of Heavy Town for just a second. You know, obviously we always ask, you know, when the professional, you know, but as you said, I'm speaking professional as in your passion kind of intersects. Look, how did your organization start? You know, and how did you, you know, start to form all of that, and then, you know, and what's that adventure been like?
Yeah, so I formed Shadow Hunters. We had about a million different names until we finally chose Shadow Hunters and just stuck with it. But I chose people that are really into it and everything like that. We have Greg Koss, who he was on another paranormal team in Chicago. Greg, we have a couple mediums on our team. We have a famous psychic medium, Scotty Rorick. He does go around to different events and stuff like that. He's been featured on the Travel Channel, Discovery Channel, and everything. We have Carly, Diana. Diana, I actually met through Six Flags Fright Fest when we did our show at Six Flags. And I met her through there. And then there's Sharon. Sharon is 100%. She looks like Betty White, so we call her Betty White. Nice. Sharon's about 73 years old, and she's a ghost hunter. Nice. Same with Greg. They're kind of our grandma and grandpa on the team. So they kind of keep us in line when we get out of check, which usually happens a lot. But like I said, we're a fun team and everything. We always talk. We always have meetings and stuff like that. And, you know, we make sure we're a very close, connected team, and we always have each other's backs and make sure that everybody is okay and everything like that. But with Form on the team, though, it was mostly looking for people that really wanted to believe in this and not be like, oh, this is some bullshit, you know, thing or whatever. I was like, no, this is... And I always felt that Shadow Hunters was going to go somewhere, you know? Like, for instance, we have a TV show on Paraflix. Paraflix is a brand new streaming service. It's kind of like your Netflix and Paranormal Plus or Discovery Plus and all that kind of stuff. But it's all paranormal. It's nothing else but paranormal shows and all that. And Natalie Jones is fantastic. We also get to work with Patty Negri from Ghost Adventures. Like, she's a great lady. She's very nice and everything. I mean, it's mostly just we're focused on what we need to do and going into a haunted location by helping people or just going to see if there's actual a ghost or not. Like, behind my house right now, it's a Native American burial ground. That's where I live, like right behind the house. And we've captured stuff back there before. And but like I said, we like to have a good time on the team. Like, for us, we get our best evidence by laughing. Mm. And the reason we do that is because the spirits that were alive once, they know exactly what laughing is. So they're more likely to do something that they're used to seeing. So, you know, like, we laugh, we have a good time. And, you know, I love my group. It's just we're a bunch of dorks. Sometime we call ourselves nerds, you know, we're paranormal nerds and stuff like that. But we have fun doing it. And I mean, you know, when I was trying to create the team and everything, you know, we've had past team members that just did not work out. And we're just like, you gotta go. Like, you can't, you know. Or they brought our information to another team and that other team stole our stuff and all that kind of stuff. And it's with the paranormal, it can get very wish-washy, meaning like, people can be assholes. Like, other people in teams, in groups, and people, anything like that, they can be big assholes. Mm. I'm better than you. Well, I did this. You fake your evidence. You do that. Oh, my God. I feel like we're back in kindergarten again. Like, that's sometimes how it feels with being a paranormal investigator. But with my team, anytime we hear something or we've heard some gossip, lips shut, we don't talk about it, and we go on to the next subject.
I imagine it's you know, because it's such a small community, it kind of gets a little high school-y from time to time.
It's ridiculous. I just sit back and laugh, like, because that's all you really can do.
It's one of the best ways to look at it. Just, oh, well, that's stupid. Yeah. I'm going to go do my thing now.
Yeah, exactly. 110%.
Yeah, just, yeah. You know, sit back, relax. We've never, ever made fun of another team. We have never pulled a prank on another team. I mean, well, I take that back. We pulled plenty of pranks, but that's just being funny and stuff like that.
Fair.
But, like, we would never harm a team, hurt a team, talk bad about them, talk shit. No, that's not us. I mean, other teams will do that. I mean, don't get me wrong with that. But our team, no. We're just the lovable, fun Shadow Hunters Paranormal Investigation events, and we love to have a good time.
Solid.
And to kind of put in a shameless plug.
There's no such thing on this show. No such thing.
We're hosting a huge paranormal event in April. It's an event called Spirits in the Spring, and it's over at Broadhead Manor. There's going to be a lot of people there from the Travel Channel. There's going to be some people there from that show 28 Days Haunted on Netflix.
Nice.
There's going to be people there from there. And it's just a big paranormal convention. There's going to be different paranormal teams. We have speakers, we have vendors, and all this in order to get in. It's only $10. It's $10 to get in. If you bring food donations, it's $10. All that food, though, it's a big charity thing.
Nice.
And Spirits in the Spring goes back to Jackie when I had my first paranormal experience. Jackie's dad is a professional magician, and he used to do this thing every year called Jackie's Magic after Jackie had passed away. Because when Jackie passed away, they opened up her car and found that she was doing her own food drive for Lake County, Illinois, without telling anybody. No, she was donating all this food and everything. And in order to get in to Jackie's Magic, you would have to bring food donations in. And then they put on this huge, gigantic 3-hour magic show, like professional magic. And it was just, it was really cool. And when Jackie's dad kind of stopped doing it, because it was very tiring to run that every year and all that, I thought, well, why not mix the paranormal with magicians? So that's how we came up with Spirits in the Spring. So we have paranormal speakers there, and then we have magicians there at the same time. And it's a great thing this year, because we're having it at a big haunted location and everything. We're expecting about 400 to 500 people to walk through those doors. And like I said, all the money and the food and all that, that all gets donated to Warren Township in Gurnee, Illinois. And then also there's a couple it's a food pantry in Gurnee. And then also there's a couple food pantries in Wisconsin. Everything gets donated to. So it's a big charity event that we do every year.
That's really awesome, man. They you know, not that you needed additional backing for it, but that, I mean, that's awesome. They that's really cool that you guys are doing something like that.
And that's a lot of people, you know, misconcept that ghost hunters are assholes and all that, but we're one of the nicest people that are out there. We always try to do stuff for people. We hold charity events and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, like a lot of the stars you see on like TV and stuff like that, they're very nice too. Very, very nice. And, you know, they'll talk to you. They're very, you know, they're not like, oh, I'm so-and-so or whatever. Like, I don't have time for you. I'm not going to take a picture and all that. Like, we've had millions of people come up to us. Can we get a picture? Like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, why not? It's a picture. Like, I'll take a picture with you. I don't care. You know, we'll sign autographs and all that kind of stuff. And we're really down-to-earth people. Like, I love talking with fans. Absolutely. That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, 110%. And you know what? And ironically enough, it's an excellent arm connecting to the horror community, because the horror community is exactly the same.
Yeah.
The everyone is just so, it's one of life's ironies that, you know, we're talking about, you know, very deep, dark, disturbing things.
Right.
But they're like the nicest people, the sweetest, most accepting people. And I've never seen a community where like the celebrities will go and hang out with the fans so closely, and that and that's even more interesting. And I imagine it sounds like that the paranormal community is no different.
Yeah, I mean, it depending on who you are, but most of us, very, very down to earth people. We love talking with it. Like that show, Destination Fear. I love that show. That's one of my favorite paranormal shows. It features Dakota, his sister Chelsea, and his two best friends, Alex and Tanner. They've gone to conventions and they literally hang out with the fans and all that kind of stuff. They'll sign autographs and all that. I've never personally met them yet. I would love to. This girl I know, Jenny Davis, she knows them pretty well. She went to a conference and she goes, Nick, where's your phone? I said, right here. And she goes, hold on a second. She video called them and they were all talking to me through a video call. Like it was cool and stuff. But most people in the paranormal community are very, very down to earth, nice, and we're just basic everyday people, except we're nerds with ghosts. That's about it.
and all we are is just nerds that are kind of creative, and we make films and shit, which is always nice.
Well, the thing is, like, I love the horror stuff. Like, horror is not just ghosts or anything like that. Like, I don't know. I can't show you now, but I have, you know, those, like, pop figures.
Yeah.
I have a crap ton of pop figures. I have Michael Myers. I have... We also have, I have Annabelle, I have Hannibal, I have Chucky. I've got the Michael Myers with the Michael Myers house next to it, and all that kind of stuff. And if you haven't already heard, Halloween's my favorite horror movie. I don't care. It kicks Friday the 13th's ass. Freddy's ass. I love it. And may get me kicked off, but I loved the last Halloween Ends. I thought it was good.
I still haven't seen it, so I don't have a horse in the race just yet. Although yeah. I know a lot of people.
I'll watch it at some point. I like the last two remakes movies, but everybody just went nuts on Halloween since. I'm like, damn, what the hell happened? They were going on a streak, and then
it. Whew. I thought it was good. I thought. Now the other one, Halloween.
Kills.
Halloween Kills. I wasn't a fan of that one. I didn't think it made any sense, but I did like the remakes and all that. But all
right, so like this is a real test of like an ultimate Halloween fan right here, like about the franchise. Like, do you even like the return of Michael Myers?
It's okay. I'll put it that way. It's okay.
That's the most diplomatic answer I've heard in a while on that one.
It's one way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of funny that Paul Rudd was in the movie.
That is also true.
That's what makes that movie watchable. Just I love the scene where you first, and he's just, you know, standing in the window just like this. I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
But when was Tommy Doyle that much of a weirdo? Like, he wasn't even a weirdo in the first one. Like,
yeah,
what happened to Tommy Doyle?
He was traumatized. That's what happened. He became a fucking weirdo. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, Friday the 13th's got its you know, its moments. You know, and Zach is the ultimate Friday the 13th.
I do
fan.
Like that shirt though. I like that shirt. Every year I always go to Spirit Halloween and I buy something Halloween there, anything like that. 2 years ago, I bought a Jason when they had the jerseys there.
Nice.
So I have the jersey that says like Jason on the back in Crystal Lake or something like that.
Nice.
But I mean, anything that's horror, I like. You know, I love horror movies. But then, you know, horror will also kind of mix in with the paranormal too. We're actually working with, I don't know if you guys have heard of them, Tribe 2 Productions.
Sounds really familiar.
Sounds familiar, but
yeah,
they're kind of like an indie production company, and they go to they used to do a lot of stuff with like The Walking Dead and all that kind of stuff. But they go to like all these horror conventions and all that, and they're actually sponsors this year for Spirits in the Spring for the event that we're having. You know, there's the Midwest Haunters Convention and all that. And I have to say, too, I love horror because every year I always work Six Flags Fright Fest. I'm always a scare actor every single year.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I'm always a henchman, which is, you know, we have the long chin, we have the long nose and all that kind of stuff. The only thing that sucks about it is prosthetics. I hate prosthetics with a passion. But no, horror and me mix very, very well.
Yeah, we actually I've been going down to Halloween Horror Nights since 2009, so I'm a big.
I've always wanted to go there. I've never been there. I've just always done Fright Fest.
I hear you. Like, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, you know, I always make the comparison. You know, for locals like us, and being like, you know, hey, it's what's Halloween Horror Nights like? I was like, it's like Fright Fest except with Universal Studios money. The amount of like set building and shit that they were able to do. And like, I mean, Zach had, I think this was Zach's second year coming with us. And I mean, like, there was one house in particular that was just, it's so fucking fantastic. And he already knows what I'm talking about. It was called Dead Man's Wake. And it was based on
Dead Man's Wharf.
Dead Man's Wharf, sorry. And it was based on like a New England town, and all of them were ghost apparitions. They all looked, you know, they had, you know, that kind of very white makeup on. And right. and like when you walked in, you like I don't know if it was like even like cooler or if they pumped the air conditioning, but you felt it when you walked in. You're like, damn, it's like it's getting cold in here. Like you felt that New England like
you, it too. It smelled like you were on like a dock of some sorts. Like you walked into like H.P. Lovecraft's mind, and like you're hit with the mist and the humidity, the cold, and just the look. It, they even had like makeshift rain, which I'm like, how the hell did they pull that off?
In my sick and twisted mind, it was like if H.P. Lovecraft had a child with Stephen King and BioShock watched in the corner while it pleasured itself.
I don't know about that BioShock part, but the first two I'll give you.
It had that, you know, and like they had a bunch of dudes with the old scuba gear like from the 30s, the big helmets. Right. It was fantastic. It was just great atmosphere.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I love horror. I think everything is great about horror and stuff like that. And I mean, that's kind of how I got into Fright Fest over here at Great America by us. Was, you know, especially when they did the first Fright Fest in like 1992, I think it was when they came out with it. And you know, I've been going ever since I was a little kid. And I love roller coasters. Like I'm a huge roller coaster junkie. Like love roller coasters. So I'm either a vet tech during the day, I'm a paranormal investigator at night, and then I'm a roller coaster junkie during whenever I have the free time.
Fair enough. You're talking to two individuals, unfortunately, who are not the fans of roller coasters at all.
Oh God!
Not the biggest fans, to say the least.
I'll fly. I don't care. Just let me have control. Mm-hmm. I do not like having control going that quickly. It's just. What if one of these rails snap? Am I just I've seen Final Destiny just wee dead.
There's some people, man, that are just like love roller coasters, man, are like, fuck it. You know, just whatever happens, happens.
Yep. Now flying, I hate flying. I can't do it.
I'm fine with it.
I hate flying with a passion. It doesn't work out for me because I don't have control of the plane. Mm. So like if the plane's moving.
Well, I guess we're moving with it.
Roller coaster, like you can see the turns coming and you can kind of move your body and stuff, but a plane, forget that.
It's just clouds is clouds. Yeah. I
guess I've always wanted to fly a jet. Like that's kind of a goal of mine. God only knows if I'll ever do that. Maybe if I get rich one day and I could just pay for a bunch of piloting lessons and bribe a military official, but yeah, like planes, I could handle just fine. Roller coasters, I don't know. I don't like it.
I love like, I need to go to Disney just to ride some of their. So the last time I was at Disney, I was 8 years old, and I was terrified of roller coasters. I hated them, so I didn't even get to ride like Space Mountain or anything like that. Now I see all these coasters, I'm like, shit, I want to go to Disney, but I don't want to pay over $1,000 just to go. Like,
yeah, I hear you on that. And I'll let you in on a few things about Disney after this podcast. But the one thing I did want to ask though is, you know, obviously as you've kind of progressed and you've gone on like the Travel Channel and now you're going to be on your own streaming service and everything else, like what are some of the really cool places that you've been able to go to and investigate and things that you've been able to do, you know, ever since you've kind of, you know, stepped into more of a, you know, I don't want to say, you know, famous, but like limelight, you know, within, you know, different streaming services and different shows, you know, how has that allowed you to go to certain places and investigate certain things? And tell us about some cool, you know, experiences that you've had doing things that you never thought you would ever be able to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one place that comes right off the bat is there's a place in Indiana. It's called Indiana State Sanatorium.
We know it. I know it. Don't they do like a 20, like an overnight thing that you can stay overnight there?
Sometimes they do.
Yeah. Remember that one.
Definitely they do. That was the place that we caught our first, and this was 2 years ago, last year. This is a place we caught our first apparition on camera. We've never ever caught anything on camera like we did. And this place is gigantic. It's got a psych psychiatric ward. It's got a there was a nursing home in there and everything, and it's kind of like they ran their own community because of how many people were there and the doctor's offices and doctor's houses, and there's a mansion on the property and all that, and you can investigate everything. You know, you can go into all these places. But we were there. We went to the psychiatric ward, and there's five floors. So we decided to start from the top, which in each floor is a different type of meaning. So the top floor was the worst of the worst of the men, like the most angry, violent men. The fourth floor was basic men. The third floor was the women's ward. And the first and second floor were just kind of like patient rooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we decided to start from the top. We really didn't get anything up there. And I mean, we had a door slam on us. That was about it. And then we went to the fourth floor. Nothing really happened on that floor. And then I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try by myself on the third floor. That's one thing with paranormal investigations that you had brought up earlier. That's the number one rule. Never, ever go by yourself. Just in case, even if it's not a ghost, let's say you fall or something, there's nobody by you.
Sure.
But I knew people were upstairs and all that, and I had a walkie-talkie just in case anything would happen. I decided to go on the third floor, and I'm walking, and all of a sudden I hear like tap, tap, tap. And I'm like, what the hell is that tapping noise? And I look to my left, and there's a big window, and it's raining out. I was like, oh, okay, cool, it's raining. And then I have my camera, and I happen to look this way, right directly down the hallway. I see a figure do this, stick its head out, and it go right back in.
Mm.
And I didn't know exactly what I saw at that time. Like, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me and all that. And then all of a sudden, I put two and two together. I was like, holy shit. Like, I just saw a fucking ghost. Like, this is a ghost. Mm. And I screamed so loud. And people are like, why would you scream? I was like, because you don't expect anything like that to happen on a ghost hunt. Like, you really don't. Like I said earlier, going ghost hunting is like watching paint dry. It's very, very boring. And I ran upstairs. I was like, oh my God, guys, you guys gotta see what I just caught and all that kind of stuff. And they looked, and you can't really see it on like the small LCD screen. So I went home, I blew it up on the computer, and you could see it perfectly. And people, they can, so for your listeners, if you go to our YouTube page, you can watch that. You can see that figure pop its head out and then pop right back in.
Nice.
But I mean, we've been to places like that. We've been to sanitariums. We've been to abandoned hospitals before. And it's stuff that I never, ever thought that I'd be able to go to. Now, there are some dream locations I would love to go to, but I don't. You got to have this. You got to have a lot of the,
yep,
the yeah, money.
and actually, you just made a perfect transition. And actually, I think this is a great opportunity to go into the question of the podcast, which is, you know, where we wrap things up. The mm-hmm. But ironically enough, you just brought up what I wanted to ask. What is the ultimate paranormal or haunted location? Or maybe one or two locations that you would want to go. It doesn't matter, money, all that shit's aside. As per tradition, you as the guest can go first. But if you so choose, you can pass. But I'm going to take a guess and say that you have a few answers right off the bat. So please go ahead. Have take away.
Two places I've always wanted to go to. One is Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. It's one of the biggest asylums in the world. And number two is Poglia Island in Italy.
I know the island, and you stole mine. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's a fucking wild place, man.
I would love to go there. I mean, I am Italian too, so I don't know if maybe I would. I don't know if I would connect to it or anything like that, and. But that's one place I've always wanted to go to, but it's so hard to get on there because you really got to like bug their government and have a lot of money.
You want to give a little bit of explanation.
Ghost Adventures went there, but
you want to give a little explanation about what that island actually is. You could probably speak to it more intelligently than I can.
So Poglia Island in Italy is it used to hold, used to, I guess you could say, but it's a, it had a whole bunch of buildings for, it was like a big mental asylum. And you would go to this island to die, pretty much. Like, if you were sick or anything like that. And they still have bones and skulls and all that on the island still. Like, this is one of the most terrifying and haunted islands you can ever go to.
Then they also put victims of the plague on that island as well.
Yeah, they did. So if you had the plague, you would go there too. And there was this thing I watched on it, and they had, if you were on this boat traveling to this island, the doctors would wear plague masks so they don't get sick, and you're just staring at this creepy ass mask the entire way up all the way to the island. I don't know, that kind of stuff creeps me out, but I would still want to go. That's one place I would want to go to. And then Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, one of the biggest asylums in America.
Yeah, dude, that place is wild, man. And like, people have seen a lot of shit at that place. Zach.
Two locations in particular are the Paris Catacombs and Normandy Beach.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, Paris Catacombs, I mean, an entire catacomb system just built out of bones just sounds really fascinating to go see. To see, seeing it in a video is just one thing, but seeing it in person, it's like, this is actually real. Wow. The amount of dead people and, like, that built this whole system, that's a lot of people. And then Normandy Beach, it's one of the most violent World War II locations. So, I'd love to just walk. Like, there's a lot of World War II locations I would love to explore, but that's like the number one. Another one I can't go because, you know, war right now. But besides that, the Paris Catacombs is definitely my number one spot if it comes to like haunted locations that I could think of. Because what would be more horrifying or haunted than that vast amount of space with all those bones? Just so, yeah.
The island is, it was definitely on my list, but because, but I do have two other locations, that would be trippy as shit. I'll add an additional one just because it's fast, but it's local. But because the security is so crazy there, I would love to go to Bachelor Grove. But they're just so, their security is so tight there. And also, too, is I know that there's a lot of, like, demon worship there, so I don't want to deal with those fuckers.
You're talking about Bachelor's Grove in Chicago?
Yeah, Bachelor's Grove in Chicago. Yeah, man. The security.
You've never been there?
I've never personally been there, but I want to go like when they're at night when there's some shit. But like my dad actually
night is hard.
Yeah, but my dad snuck in there back in the day, back in the 80s. And he's like, yeah, it's fucking freaky as shit. But like because of like all the all the stuff that I've heard, like, you know, that the security guards that have worked there and said, like, hey, you know, we're instructed in our manual if we hear chanting that we got to call the cops. And like, you know, because there's so many like demon rituals that happen there, it's cool as shit. And obviously, I think because I'm a big history buff, and I think that would be wild is Gettysburg. For sure.
Yeah. Gettysburg,
And then the number one, because I grew up watching an episode of Goosebumps about it, which would be the Tower of London. It would be trippy as shit, man. That one would be fascinating. I'm sure that there's dozens that I'm gonna leave this podcast and be like, damn, I wish I would remember that. But those are definitely some ones that kind of stuck out. Bachelor Grove, but like the actual Bachelor Grove, already been to the dance hall where Resurrection Mary started. So didn't pick her up. Did not see her.
So if we actually had a paranormal conference there.
Nice.
2 weeks later, it burnt down.
I went there by accident and I didn't even know I was there until I left. I actually went there to go swing dancing. Because they still have swing dancing things there, and I didn't realize where the fuck I was until I left. And I'm like, oh, holy shit, that was it. They didn't see anything, had a good time, and everything else. But like, I remember hearing those stories growing up, and that was always wild to hear. But
Random question. Have any of you guys been to the location where the Valentine's Day massacre happened?
I have never been.
I have never been, but we were friends with Ursula Bielski. She's big Chicago folklorist down there in Chicago. She actually has a brick from the St. Valentine's Day massacre down there.
Which is awesome. The mob museum in Vegas actually has the mass majority of them, and they reconstructed the wall. I've actually seen the wall. I just got back from there. So I recently saw the wall. And funny enough, people still, the new MGM is supposed to be haunted too because of the old MGM, because of the fire back in 91.
Right.
Cause I know some people have talked about that and seen some shit, but yeah, those are definitely my locations. So, sir, this is your opportunity to look directly into camera and let the good people know where they can find you on all your social medias, all your all the great stuff that you have coming up project wise. Anything else that you'd want to plug, and we can go from there.
Yeah. Anybody that wants to find us, you can always go on Facebook. We're on all social media. Just type in Channel Hunters Paranormal Investigation and Events. I know it's kind of a mouthful, but we added and events because there's so many other shadow hunters out there. But that's one with us. You'll see our little green dude back there. Spooks. Nice. That's kind of our mascot for shadow hunters. We're on Facebook, Instagram, including TikTok. I'm not a fan of TikTok. You know, you're not going to see us doing any of those trend dances, or because I can't dance for shit. So we don't do that kind of stuff. We're on Twitter. I actually just started a LinkedIn, so I'm on there. You can also write at nick@shadowhuntersparanormal.com. That's my email if you guys have anything. And then if you guys want to come out to Spirits in the Spring, like I said, it's a huge convention, filled with, you know, a lot of stuff with paranormal, magicians. To find out all the information about Spirits in the Spring, you can go to www.shadowhunterspara.com, and all the information is on there. We're even having Megan there from the movie Megan. Nice. We have somebody who looks 100% like Megan, so she'll be there kind of taking pictures with people. And then we actually have something there called Battle Michael Myers, too, and if you guys want to know what that's about, you guys will have to come to Spirits in the Spring and find out.
Okay.
Nice thing. Well, thank you so much, man, and I'm going to close this bad boy out. Thank you so much, of course, for checking out this episode of the Nightmares Podcast. You can find us where all podcasts are available on YouTube, Spotify, Anchor, all that great stuff. And if you are watching us on YouTube, if it could be so awesome to stab that like button, smash that subscribe, and click that little dingy bell to be notified every time we drop amazing content right here on MHN. And, of course, you can check us out on all of our social medias, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and
Slasher,
the application for all things horror. Thank you so much, and thanks for hanging out with us here today on the Nightmares Podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye, guys.